Hello, this is Dr. Ed Hill, the host of This Week in the Word, where we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God and our walk with Christ. You've joined us for the episode entitled Complete in Christ, Episode 11, Dress for Success, Part 2, What to Put On. This is the episode for Sunday, March 31st, 2024. Last week, in that episode, Dress for Success, Part 1, we looked at what to put off, what to take off. Today, we're going to see what to put on. Now, have you ever gone somewhere and realized that you were way underdressed or way overdressed for an occasion? That's a weird feeling. It's like walking in for a job interview somewhere that you thought was kind of laid back and everybody's got on three-piece suits and you've got on a t-shirt and jeans. It just doesn't work. Can you imagine wearing a three-piece suit at a beach party? That would be overdressed, to say the least. Or what about brown shoes with a navy blue suit? Wait, that's in now. Sorry. All right. What about a paisley tie with a striped shirt? Yeah, again, that's in. What a weird combination, right? All right, so back in January of 1976, John Malloy wrote a book entitled Dress for Success, and it really took off because it gave astute fashion guidance so you would look like a million so you can make a million. I think that was the subtitle. And it still is out. There's a book entitled New Dress for Success. There's one for men, and there's another one for women. But in that, he told people who didn't know better how to dress right, you know, so that they could present themselves the right way and not look ridiculous, like overdressed, underdressed, or wearing something totally weird. I mean, way back then, wearing brown shoes for a guy with a navy blue suit, no way you would ever do that. Now, I have today a special hatred when people wear athletic shoes with a suit. Ah! I just hate that. Makes my skin crawl when I see that. Probably very comfortable, though. Well, you know what, though? Spiritually, followers of Jesus need to dress for success also. And we need to be thinking, what behavior goes best with our beliefs? Think about that. Now, here's where the gospel gets granular. By that, I mean it really gets down to specifics. It gets very authentic, very real. So, as I mentioned, last week we saw what to put off. This week we want to see what to put on. Now, we're going to read all of Colossians 3 that we've looked at so far, and including what we're going to look at today, and then we'll just focus on verses 12 through 17 for today. So going back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. All right, so if you want to know more about what we just read, you have to go back to episode 10 where we break that down. All right, today, let's go to verse 12 in Colossians 3. So we've seen what to put off, right? Notice that it says here, The very first two words, put on. Did you see that? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that is, we've been chosen, selected by God. I don't understand all of that. I don't know how to explain it. I just know that if you're a Christian, you were selected. You were chosen by God. It's not a random thing when somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, I'm going to read through those same verses from Young's literal translation. That is, it's translated as far as possible, word for word, from the Greek to the English. So listen to it this way. Put on, therefore, as choice ones of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humble-mindedness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other, if anyone with anyone may have a quarrel, as also the Christ did forgive you, so also ye. And above all these things, have love, which is a bond of the perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye were called in one body, and become thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, in grace singing in your hearts to the Lord. And all, whatever ye may do, in word or in work, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and Father through him. All right, so let's go back to the King James in Colossians 3. Let's go back to verse 12. Now, notice it says, put on therefore. You know, the therefore is there for something. So what's the therefore there for? It's in light of the fact that we are saved. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are followers of him. Because of that, and because we put off the old man when we got saved, we are to clothe ourselves with certain things as the chosen people of God. Now notice here that God says we are holy. So, well, Pastor Ed, I don't always feel holy. See, that's your problem. That's my problem too. We sometimes are neglectful and try to live our Christian life by what we feel, what we think. But God says about those he has saved that he sees us as holy. We are set apart for his purposes. And he loves us deeply. He loves us dearly. That word beloved is a Greek word, agapeo. God has a very sacrificial love toward us for our best. He doesn't just feel good thoughts toward us. He actually has sacrificed. Christ sacrificed his life, his sinless life, to pay the debt of our sin. and he rose again the third day, and the forgiveness that he purchased with his death is given to us. So in light of all of that, we are to put on some things. We are to dress for success in this way spiritually. Bowels of mercies. Now, this is a Greek word, and you'll understand why the King James translators, who are very, very intelligent and academic men. If you ever read a King James Bible, some of them in the front have a listing of the people who helped translate the King James Version. I mean, these were people who could read Greek and Hebrew and probably other languages fluently. They were very smart people who did that translation work. Read that sometimes. It'll blow your mind. So put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Now, what is that? It means that we are to clothe ourselves with heartfelt compassion. And the reason the translators, the King James, use bowels of mercies is when you love someone, let's say you see someone that you love very much get hurt. We feel that right in the core of our being. You know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to explain it. You feel it like you feel it right inside of you. So we're to put on heartfelt compassion, that is for everyone, but especially believers. And say, well, I don't always feel that. Well, you know what? The more you read the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit fill you, let Jesus be Jesus in you, the more you will share in the sufferings that others go through. You will be able to identify with them much more readily because it will be really Jesus in you doing that. And then we are to have kindness. Kindness is in short supply today, people, in this world. I am constantly amazed when I'm out in public how coarse and insensitive and just, it's all about me, people can be. It just blows my mind. I'm using that word a lot today, that phrase, but it really does. As I just observe things like, you know, you could have said that 17 other ways, but you chose to be unkind. We are to be those characterized by kindness. Now, that doesn't mean we're a doormat, but it means that the kindness of God flows through us to those we deal with. You know, when somebody makes a mistake, do you jump on them or do you encourage them and coach them up? That might be a good example. Another thing we're to be clothed with, dressed for success spiritually, is humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. So what is this talking about? All right, well, we're looking at the Greek. You can't see it, but I can see it here. My interlinear mounts, interlinear Greek English translation. Humility, that's what it is. Where the Greek word for mind is, two words are tied together here. We have a lowly mind. It doesn't mean that you walk around saying, I'm just no good, I'm not good at anything, woe is me. That's just drawing attention to yourself. That's all that's doing. That doesn't really come from humility. That's you focused on you. Humbleness of mind means that, let's say somebody else is talking, maybe I should just shut up and listen. I might learn something, right? The more we listen, the more we learn. Somebody has said that when our lips are moving, we're not learning anything. We need to regard others as more important than ourselves. And maybe they even know things that we don't know or can do things better than we could ever do. And it doesn't mean that we put ourselves down. It means we recognize who we are and who God has made us, but we also respect that in other people. Humbleness of mind. I don't have to be the A-type personality, the alpha dog in every room, right? get over that. If you're an alpha woman or an alpha male, let Jesus help you develop humbleness of mind. Maybe you know better than somebody else, but you don't have to embarrass them publicly by telling everybody. That might be another example of that. Maybe you pull them aside and say, you're wrong about that, and here's why, instead of embarrassing them publicly. Now, some people deserve to be embarrassed publicly. Go for it. But generally, that should not be our approach. Meekness. Now, what is that? Meekness is a gentleness. It doesn't mean, again, that we're Casper Milquetoast, as the old saying goes, but it really just means that we're under the Lord's control and we're not trying to advance ourselves and put ourselves first. We're not proud, okay? So I thought pride is a good thing. Well, I know how people use that word sometimes that, you know, let's say that you work on floors and you do a great job. Yeah, you have a right to feel good about the way you approach your work and how you do things. Maybe one of you ladies is an author. You write books and you know that God has made you good at that. Don't go around saying, I'm just no good. I'm a terrible writer. I work terrible on floors, whatever. That's drawing attention to yourself, all right? But it just means that you recognize your strengths, but you recognize them in others as well. Then long-suffering. This is our word. We often use the word patience for this Greek word, macrothumia. Macro, of course, means large or long or big, like a macro event versus a micro event. You've heard those kind of phrases before. Macrothumia, it means you get under the load and you really hang in there, baby. You don't cut and run. You don't quit when it gets a little uncomfortable. You have patience. That's not only patience, obviously, in circumstances, but patience with people. And that's much harder, I assure you, because I'm an expert on that, because sometimes I don't. A lot of times I don't. And the Lord is working me over on that. And slowly but surely, Jesus is taking charge of that in my life. Verse 13, forbearing one another. Now, what does that mean? And it goes on to say, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Hey, the word on the street is that sometimes Christians don't get along in churches. Is that true? Many of you are laughing right now because you're saying, man, have you ever been to a church? Yeah, I've been to them. I pastored them. I get it. Sometimes there's things that are truly issues, and we need to talk those out. We need to deal with them very forthrightly. I 100% get that. But you know what? Sometimes we're way too touchy in church and out in public with lost people. We need to be the kind of people, we need to dress this way, put this on, let Jesus really clothe us in this, and he lives through us, where we put up with other people, Christians or not. You can go a long, long way before you have to draw a line. Now, the Lord will show you where the line is, but I'm just saying, until you get to that line, you can put up with a lot in order to be forbearing and forgiving with other Christians and even with people who are not. Now, notice here in verse 13, this hit me today when I was looking at it. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Do you know what this is saying? It's like there's a cause. You bet I'm mad, and here's why. And you might even be right. That's what I want you to zero in on right here. Say, but what they did was wrong. What they said was wrong. I get it. And you may be completely right. That's the whole point. That's when you have to be forbearing and forgiving. Don't hold a grudge against people. Say, well, what if they never repent and apologize? And they might not ever do that. You don't let them control you by you holding a grudge in your heart. If somebody draws a circle that excludes you, you just draw a bigger one that includes them to the degree that you can. Now, this doesn't dismiss or ignore times where there has to be Christ-like, loving confrontation, because we see Jesus doing that in his earthly ministry, and he obviously does it in the written word, okay? But it's just saying everything is not an issue. And even if it is, you have the choice to say, you know what? I'm gonna let it go, and I'm just gonna love them anyway. I'm gonna treat them with kindness and humbleness and long-suffering and forbearing anyway. Say, but they don't deserve it. That's the whole point. They probably don't. That's when you let Jesus be Jesus in you, forbearing others, forgiving each other, especially in the body of Christ. But this has to be done at the office, at school, on the ball field, you know, all over the place. This thing about being triggered is demonic. And first of all, you shouldn't really encourage or allow anybody to walk in that who names the name of Christ. And you definitely shouldn't be somebody who's triggered by everything. You've got issues. And Jesus deals with issues, even issues like yours, okay? So, well, how far are we to go in this? You're going to love this part if you've had a hard time. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's only one person that can actually pull this off in us, and that's Jesus. You cannot do this by going to church, being religious, trying to be like the world talks about, be kind, you know, that whole thing. You and I are never going to pull this off. It's got to be an inside job where Jesus lives in us as our risen Savior and Lord. I mean, he's in us. He indwells us by his Spirit, and he does this through us. You cannot do this on your own. Basically, you should just give up and yield to him, and he will live through you. Verse 14. And above all these things, like on top of all this, you know, cover all these things with this. And above all these things, put on charity. You know what that Greek word is? You're probably already guessing. It is the Greek word agape. It's God's kind of sacrificial love. So really, this is what makes this work. When you have not your love, not how you feel or put up with people and things like that, but when you begin increasingly to have Jesus' love in you because he's in you, and you begin to have him saying, you know, you need to just let that go and just turn it over to me. You need to not say that. Or when something needs to be said, maybe you need to say it this way. Whatever. I mean, I can't handle all the ways this could be used, but you know what the neat thing is? He'll show you. If you want to know, he will show you how and who and why and where and when and all of that. So God's kind of love kind of makes all this work, and it's the bond of perfection. It helps us grow to maturity. There are way too many baby Christians in churches who by this time should be at least older teenagers or young adults, you know, metaphorically speaking as Christians, if not fully mature Christians. If you've been saved a while and you've been around church a while, hopefully you've been in the Word of God a while and you should be heading toward greater maturity. But if you haven't, you've got a lot of growing up to do, and it's the kind of things we're talking about right here. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule is where we get our idea of an umpire. Like there's a sporting event and there's a call to be made by who makes it, a referee or an umpire, right? Or someone who's a director of a competition, like, I don't know, if Tiddlywinks has an international competition, somebody's in charge of that and decides whether that was an illegal move you made or not, all right? Let the peace of God make the call, make the ruling, or direct you in your hearts. You know, if you don't have the peace of God in how you're treating others and dealing with others, that's a very good sign. Like, man, I am way out of bounds on this. Well, listen to him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And that's another thing that we can all grow in. My wife taught me, because her family used to say this a lot, I guess they still do, I think her mother said it a lot. Two words will open any door with ease. One is thank you, the other, please. And I don't know how this happened. It most likely is Jesus in me, but over the years I've become somebody, it's just second nature that I just tell people thank you. I mean, a lot. And please, a lot. Did you know that you can get somebody to do just about anything by prefacing it with please, with a true, sincere, good attitude and a smile on your face? It's been said, and it's true, you can attract more bees with honey than vinegar. Say amen right here. Be ye thankful, obviously to the Lord, but also when you're thankful to the Lord and you're a grateful person, it's going to, in a wonderful way, it's going to influence others as well. If left to my devices, I'm very judgmental. I know you never would have guessed that. Yeah, but I am. I know that you know that. Now, here's the thing, though. Slowly, I've started to realize, well, maybe that person at that business or shop or whatever, you know, somebody I ran into, maybe they just got really bad news, like cancer, or someone close to them passed away, or who knows? You know, we don't know. Maybe that's why they treated me like a dog. Now, I don't deserve to be treated like a dog. Actually, I probably do. But maybe I don't have to ring up everybody that isn't doing things the way I think they need to be done. That's a natural tendency in me. My dad was an Army Master Sergeant. Need I say more? He was a good father, but he still was an Army Master Sergeant. Now, How do we pull this off? Well, here's a pretty good idea. Verse 16. And if you're not doing this, it will be really, 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 really hard to dress for success, because you won't even know where the closet is. But when you get yourself into the Word of God every day, and I'm not talking about one verse a day, I'm talking about, I would say, this is just my opinion, you need to read at least a chapter of the Bible a day, maybe two or three. And for example, when I'm preparing these messages, you know, once I selected Colossians, and I felt like the Lord guided me to that, by the way, because I wasn't even thinking that. But once I felt that leadership, I moved into Colossians. Did you know that I move every time I start a new series? You do? Absolutely. I moved into Colossians, and I have listened to Colossians, I don't know how many times, but probably, you know, 7-8 times a week, probably, usually, and then all the way through the whole series, I'm listening to Colossians, and I do that with each book of the Bible, you know, that I teach through. So that's one example of doing that. So it's beginning to live in me in a way that It might not have been living in me before. Let the word of Christ, that's the Bible, people, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell means to be at home. You know, we can be somewhere and we're not at home. We can even be at somebody else's home and we're not at home. But in our own home, we should feel like we're at home. Well, the Bible needs to be at home in our lives. But if we never open it or rarely open it, or we only read a verse when there's an emergency, it's not dwelling richly in us. Let the word of Christ dwell. Let it be at home in you richly. I mean, just profusely, overwhelming, just largely in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. So this is like teaching Bible truth and also, you know, warning one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Where we're just, I've had this experience a lot more in the last few months where I'll just be driving down a road and an old Christian song that I know will just well up in my heart and I just sing it out loud. And man, that is so good. And when we go to church, hopefully we're going to church where we can do that in the music. And I know that's becoming harder and harder and harder, but still we can do that anyway. And we certainly can do it on our own. We may not choose the music in our worship, you know, at a worship service, but we can choose our music, you know, driving down the road, right? So, and I'm not talking about listening to so-called Christian music. What I'm talking about here is the more you're in the Word of God, God will remind you of songs that talk about that, that use that verse or that phrase. Or you may remember an old hymn that you grew up with that you just sing to the Lord and maybe tears run down your face. Amen. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word, that is what we say, or deed, what we do. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So I hope that helps you and me understand what it means to dress for success. You know, what are we to put on? Well, we've just seen it. These are the things we are to be clothed with, these attributes and qualities in our life. And as I said, if you want to just boil it right down, it's about yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting Jesus be Jesus in and through you. Then you're not walking around saying, have I, you know, it's not mechanical. I want to warn you about that. It's not like walking around saying, have I forgiven someone? Have I been kind today? Have I been humble-minded, meek, long-suffering? It's not about that. It's about letting Jesus be Jesus in you, and you're going to find the transformation that He brings, where more and more and more and more as you grow in the Lord, you're going to be Jesus in this world as He lives through you, and you're going to be humble-minded and kind and all of that. Well, listen, I'm glad you tuned in today, like nobody does that anymore, right? I'm glad you pushed a button and you're at this podcast. I want to tell you a phone number. I want to give this to you, and I want everyone to write it down. You may need it. I'm going to say it twice. 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683. That's a Christian ministry. That's not me, but it's a Christian ministry that has spiritual counselors who can talk with you about your relationship with Christ and your Christian growth, and but mainly how to start that journey by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by being born again and becoming a Christian, being saved. It all means the same thing. Call that number and someone can answer your questions and help you come to Christ and grow in Christ. Well, you know what? If I'm still here and you're still here, I'll be back next week with episode 12 of Complete in Christ. I hope you'll like this episode. If you've never done it before, you only do this one time, follow the podcast and share it with somebody right now, right where you're listening. Thank you so much. If I'm still here and you're here, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.